Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I was going to say good morning, but it is still morning in the Central Time Zone and westward here in the U.S. of A. Folks listening in the Eastern Time Zone are noon now. Hey, just real quickly, we got something affecting us here locally. Tomorrow evening, by locally, I mean in the Northeast Mississippi area where our broadcast signal originates from here in Tupelo. But we're Jeff and Debbie Shreve from Texarkana, Arkansas, from His Heart Ministries, will be in town, and they're going to be here tomorrow evening, 6:30, for a dinner, free dinner for pastors. And we have a few seats still available. So if you want to, if you're a pastor and your wife, whatever, you want to come to, well, not whatever, hope you just have one wife. Huh? Just one.
I see what you did there.
I'm sorry, we're discriminating. You got multiple wives.
You can't come.
You need to look for another dinner. But this is tomorrow evening. Jeff Shreve will be here. It's free. And Jeff and Debbie Shreve will be with here. It's going to be a time here at our home campus. So if you want to drive an hour or two and be here with us tomorrow evening, we'd love to have you. We have a few seats available left for this event. Here's how you register. AFA.net/events. That's a forward slash, isn't it, Ed?
That's a forward slash.
Okay, AFA.net/events to register. You need to go on there and register. AFA.net/events. Tomorrow evening here in Tupelo, 6:30, a free dinner for pastors and their wives. So we'd love to have you if you got. Wanted to mention that because we got a few seats available. Jeff and Debbie Shreve from Texarkana, Arkansas, Texas, First Baptist Texas will be with us. Texarkana is on the border.
Yes, it is.
Do you know
straddling the fence.
Alice and I, we've stopped there before going to Dallas.
Yeah.
And we've ate at the restaurant on the border.
There is a restaurant that straddles both states?
No.
No?
It's the restaurant on the border?
There's a restaurant chain called On the Border.
Ah.
Yeah. And so do you see the irony there?
I do.
You see in it?
We
ate at a restaurant called On the Border while we were on the border.
At Texas, yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. So that I remembered it, even to this day.
Sometimes I run for the border.
And the fajita was awesome. What now?
Sometimes I run for the border, but I think it's a different chain.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris Woodward. Good morning, Brother Chris.
Good morning. Sometimes I'll look at salsa and say, New York City.
Which was a famous commercial.
Yes, it was. Back in the 90s.
Is that all, 90s. Gets that all the way back to the 90s, huh, does it? All right, look. So listen, a lot of news coming out of Israel. People, we've been paying attention to that for over a year now, obviously. Year and a half since the terrorist attacks of Hamas on, I think, 1,200 Israeli citizens lost their life.
That was October 7th.
That butchery took place. And since then, they've been at war with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. John Riley joins us now from Israel. John, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's good to be with you from Israel. I am situated just near the Sea of Galilee on the Tiberias side, and I know, Tim, you know exactly where that's at. Just a beautiful view here in a town called Poria, so it's just great to be here in the land.
What time is it in Israel?
It is 6 o'clock in the evening, almost time for my bedtime.
6 o'clock?
Well, you have family that lives in Israel. You go at least once a year, right?
I do, and I had an opportunity to visit family here this time, but, you know, for me, this trip was not to go to do sightseeing, although we have seen the sights. You can't miss it when you're in Israel, but It was to do a lot of interviews. And I have to tell you guys, God has really blessed this trip. It's one of the most special trips that I've ever had in coming to the land of Israel. You know, I've been here 30 plus times, and I know, Tim, you've been there that many or more, but it's just been a blessing here to see the open doors that God has given me to interview so many people here in the land.
Do you have clips of, you have something you want to share with us?
I don't have any clips on my computer. I know that, that Chris does, but I can tell you what I have been doing if you want me to.
Yes, I do. Chris is shaking his head yes, so we are going to go to some clips.
We do have one.
We do have one?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, do you know who this is?
Yeah, it's what's the lady's name featured in your story today, the security expert?
Yes, with her name is Sarit Zahavi, and that's actually, guys, one of the interviews that I did. I was 7 miles from the Lebanon border. Sarit Zahavi is a former lieutenant colonel. She was an intelligence officer in the IDF, and she runs the Alma Research and Education Center. And I have to tell you that when we went there, I was so informed and educated more than I ever have been when it comes to, you know, Hezbollah and what they're doing, because she's a security expert in that area. And I learned so much just being there, you know, with her and learning and interviewing her, which I'll air on the Middle East Report, which airs on American Family Radio in the next several weeks.
Okay. Just to define that term for those who don't know, Hezbollah, everybody's heard Hamas. Mm-hmm. That is a terrorist organization operating out of Gaza, Hamas. Hezbollah is the same kind of organization operating in Lebanon, which is on the northern, just north of Israel. They border, Israel and Lebanon borders. Hezbollah is supported by Iran, okay, directly. Some would say Hamas is too, but Hezbollah certainly is. They're both, I think, Shia Muslims. Anyway, so that just some context of who Hezbollah is that might come up in this interview. How long is this?
It's about 33 seconds.
All right, go.
Right after Hamas attack, Hezbollah joined in, stretching the IDF forces to the north and the south. The octopus has arms that have independent capabilities now, but eventually they are connected to the brain. And the brain, which is Tehran, is not damaged. It is looking at the capabilities that they built in the past decade in the Middle East, and they see success. It is looking at the campaign of Israel against Hamas, and they see that Sinwar is still alive. They see the criticism against Israel around the globe, and they are encouraged by that.
Yeah. That was who, John?
That was Sarit Zahavi. She is a former lieutenant colonel, intelligence officer for ALMA, a security informational educational team there in northern Israel, about 7 miles from the border where I interviewed her.
What about tourism there?
Oh, I'm right glad now. You asked that. Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that, Tim. We did have a chance to see a few things here in the land of Israel, and I went up to the Mount of Beatitudes, where I know that you've been many, many times, the Mount of Beatitudes, where the Lord gave, you know, all of those wonderful words there. And I asked the guy how tourism has been, because when I arrived there, I mean, there was nobody. It was as empty as everything. And he said, you know, usually we get about 100 buses a day this time of the year, five buses. He said, five buses a day. And that is the story, you know, all over at these tourist places. We had a little break in our schedule today. I went to Beit Shan. There's no buses there. There's a lot of Israelis and a lot of, you know, local people that are going to all of these places, but tourism is dead.
Yeah, we had to reschedule. We had a trip planned for March 12th through the 20th, and we had to reschedule it. Future date unknown. For the very reasons you're talking about. And a lot of people, the Israelis that were displaced during the war, I mean, the war is ongoing, but I mean, because of what happened near the Gaza Strip, a lot of the hotels in Israel have been filled with Israeli citizens that would have otherwise been occupied by tourists. That's one of the problems that the, you know, getting people back to going to Israel, mm-hmm. has been a problem for those kinds of reasons. A lot of stress put on the the tourism industry, but the hospitality industry, the hotels, and so forth and so on. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, John. We're looking at stories now that are saying, and I guess this is breaking news, that I'm reading from a CNN story. Tensions between the U.S. and Israel were exposed on Monday when Washington stood aside and allowed the U.N. Security Council to pass a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Now, some of our listeners may know this, maybe most of them do, but the U.N. Security Council, the U.S., can veto a resolution like this and frequently does when they want to. But instead, the U.S. decided to abstain so that the resolution, I consider it an anti-Israel resolution, would pass in the U.N. Security Council. Now, Israel is not bound by this. They don't have to declare a ceasefire, but this is additional international pressure being put on Israel not to continue its war and its efforts to root out Hamas. And so you have the President of the United States, the Biden administration, basically abstaining. And in response, Benjamin Netanyahu has canceled his Washington delegation visit. They were supposed to come to this country to talk things out with the Biden administration, but because of what has happened in the UN Security Council, Benjamin Netanyahu has canceled that delegation. This is ramping up all kinds of tensions and pressures on Israel coming from the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I am extremely disappointed in the Biden administration. I frequently am. But they started off standing with Israel. Now it looks like they're backpedaling. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, Ed, yeah, I'm glad you asked me that question because I've talked to a lot of people here in Israel, and they're very concerned about the off-the-cliff relationship now with the United States, with this Biden administration. People are very, very concerned. I mean, I have never seen the relationship between Israel and the United States at a lower level than it is right now. In fact, you know, it seems like the United States is saying, well, if you don't do what we say you should do, we're not going to give you any weapons.
Right.
And I spoke to one security expert here who said to me, and this shocked me, that Israel has like 2 months of weapons and ammunition. I mean, obviously they're trying to get more, they're getting some from the United States, but the United States is putting all these stipulations on Israel. If you don't do what I say to do, then we're not going to give you the things that you need. That's a terrible way to treat a friend, a democratic, only democratic, you know, country here in the Middle East. So it's shameful what the Biden administration is doing. And then, you know, you have all the criticism that's coming in. And then you talked about the Rafah situation. They have to go into Rafah. They have to get all those Arabs out of Rafah, get them out of the way so they can get to the remaining parts of the terrorists there in Rafah. They have to do that. I think the administration wants them just, hey, just have a ceasefire, have a good day, and just call it a day.
All right, John, listen, thanks so much for being on with us. Glad it's at least a beautiful day there where you are in the Sea of Galilee area. And when will you be home?
I'm going to be home actually just the day before Easter. So I'll be back home coming up this Saturday. And tomorrow I have the privilege to go to the Knesset and interview one member of the Israeli coalition. And I'm excited about that. And then I've got an interview with a former brigadier general that I'm going to interview a little later on in the week. So God's really opening up some great doors. And I just want to say, Tim and Ed and all the leadership there, thank you for, you know, allowing me to have the Middle East Report on American Family Radio, which can be heard in the Saturdays. Thank you so much for your love for the land of Israel and your love for the Jewish people and allowing me to do what I do here.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Take care. Safe travels. And we will definitely continue to pray for you while you're over there.
Thank you, guys. God bless you from the land of Israel.
Okay.
I just wanted to say thank you for having an AFN Israel Bureau now run by John, because we've aired a couple of his pieces and we'll have more of it on the radio and in print.
Well, I think the fact that American Family Association and American Family Radio have been so supportive of the nation of Israel mm-hmm. and the Jewish people, and John has, he's got family there. He has all sorts of connections, and God has given him favor in the eyes of many of these people. These kinds of interviews are priceless mm-hmm. In terms of getting a truer picture of what is happening in that country. You can't always rely on the CNNs of this world
correct
to cover this issue from obviously from a Christian perspective, but even from a fair perspective politically. This is terrible what the Biden administration has done. And I have no problem saying that the far leftists that appear to be running the show in Washington, D.C. in terms of the Biden administration, they are all kinds of wicked.
They are.
This is wicked what they're doing.
It is. It is, and it's an election year tactic. They're trying to make sure that states like Michigan or Minnesota continue to vote for Joe Biden in this presidential election. If you are curious, I'm looking at Pew Research Center data here. There's far more Jews in the United States than there are Muslims. For example, according to Pew, there's about 8 million Jews in the United States compared to 3.45 million Muslims. Not all Jews do side with Israel in these things, but it gives you an idea of how many voters they could reach by continuing to stand with Israel, which, to your point, they did do early on, and now they've since kind of backtracked.
Well, this could get scary if the United States, surely they will not cut off the sending of weapons and aid to Israel. But if the U.S. were to do that, or to pull its carrier fleets out of the Mediterranean, for example, that would green light countries like Syria, Iran, to widen the war against Israel. We kind of are thinking we're out of the woods in terms of the powder keg that is the Middle East. But if the United States isn't careful, they're gonna signal Israel's enemies that America's withdrawing its support, and that could start World War III.
Yeah, I went to a worship service back in the late fall, maybe early winter, in which the pastor had preached all the biblical reasons why we can and should stand for Israel, and it goes all the way back to Genesis. So yeah. I would imagine we'll probably hear news reports or perhaps even calls from pastors in these next few days on why we should do that.
Let me tell you why. It's always helpful to understand how the other side thinks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's two things going on here. By the other side, I'm talking about those who oppose Israel. In this case, the United Nations Security Council, which is China, Russia, U.S., is it Great Britain?
Great Britain, France.
Who's the fifth one?
Germany, I think, is on.
I thought there was only five members of the Security Council.
There's permanent members and then there's temporary.
Rotating? Right. Okay. The five permanent members.
I got them. China, France, Russian Federation, the United Kingdom, and the United States. The 10 permanent members elected for the two-year terms by the General Assembly, Algeria and Ecuador.
France and Germany aren't on the Security Council?
I'm looking at the current members from the UN Security Council's website.
The main players here are the five permanent UN Security Council.
Oh, I got you here. Yes.
Okay. Yes, but okay. So, because I'll post a link. These are the most powerful countries on Earth: China, Russia, the U.S. Who was the other two?
France and the U.K.
France and the U.K. Okay. So, all right. Now, the nefarious reason for being opposed to Israel and motive is the people who hate the Jews, such as the Iranians, the Iranian mullahs. Mm-hmm. Not all Iranians hate Jews, but the Iranian mullahs, the leadership there, much of the Arab world and the Persian world, they teach hatred for Jews to their children. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ingrained. I mean, it's part of the Islamic basically teaching. Am I right, Ed?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the most nefarious reason why the world would condemn the Jews in Israel and be opposed to Israel, almost doesn't matter right or wrong. Okay. The other reason for being opposed to Israel at this point is more of, and I'm putting this in quotations, legitimate reasons for opposing Israel's planned military actions in, is it the town called Rafah?
Rafah.
Okay, listen, Rafah is on the Egyptian border. A lot of people, like hundreds of thousands, if not a million, I don't know how many people exactly, they have been displaced. They're the Arab Palestinians who lived in northern Gaza, where the Israeli military action started. Okay, when you have a war, you have a war zone, people flee, right? You get out with your children and what are your family and your elderly, whatever, you leave. You can't stay where bombing and fighting is going on, so you naturally leave. Okay, so many of these people now have been pressed down into the southern part of the Gaza Strip near the Egyptian border, and so they're all condensed down there, a lot of these refugees. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
That is a true statement. However, so Israel is now faced with the decision. They've cleaned out most of Gaza. They boiled it down to this town, this area called Rafah, where many of these, where all these refugees are condensed into an area. All right, now Israel has to make the decision now, how far do we go with our military operations in the middle of all these civilians, okay? Now, you might say, well, these civilians are part of Palestinians who are part of Hamas, so therefore they're collateral damage, they're fair game. Fair game is not the way to put it. Do you understand what I'm trying
right.
to say? In other words, Israel might say, well, I'm sorry these people are in the way, but we got to go after the bad guys mm-hmm. because they're still in existence in this area. Israel has done a devastating job to delivered a devastating blow to Hamas over the last year or so, going in to their blasting these tunnels out. I mean, they've done that, but now it comes down to do we go in and how much do we go in? Israel's also putting their own people in danger, and how do you fire missiles in there and kill a lot of people in the attempt going after four Hamas people? You know what I'm saying? This is the situation that Israel faces now. And again, go back to what I said was, I can understand where people would say, and I know many listeners may disagree with me on this, but I can understand where people might say, listen, you got to stop right here. You can't be just bombing into a place where you've got all these refugees and these millions of million people condensed in this one. It's going to be so many innocent people are going to die. It's going to be they're going to be starved to death or I don't know. You see what I'm saying? So that's what people would be opposed to. That's why people would say Israel needs to stop right now, otherwise. What I've just described is going to happen. Is that a fair analysis?
Yeah, that's part of it. But the part of it is, of course, in Israel's perspective is we got to finish Hamas off.
I know. Okay? I know.
But part of it is motivated by hatred towards Israel. The U.S. had vetoed resolutions calling for a ceasefire. Last week it said, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will put forward a resolution for a ceasefire tied to the release of hostages, and China and Russia vetoed that.
Okay, you got to have that.
Yeah, so
you got to have they got to release the hostages if you want any chance of a ceasefire.
That's just antagonism.
That's on Hamas.
And hostility towards Israel.
Yes, and you got a lot of that.
And you got a lot of that.
We can maybe talk about that more later on another program. The biblical reasons why the world hates the Jews.
Right. And it's spiritual.
Yeah, at its core.
Right.
All right, we hope that you have a uneventful weather day,
mm-hmm.
wherever
yes.
you may be living.
Especially at my house.
It's right. Look out for number one, right, Ed? We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.